So.
Yep, I'm muted. I'm all yours.
Hello, welcome to the big show. Yeah, I'll keep the bit about Jeff being all mine. We're here to discuss the big stories in tech, all the big stuff that's gone on this. It's been a hell of a week. Actually, the Mac show's been crap because there's been no news, but the rest of the tech world has got plenty to sink its teeth into, so I'm expecting a lively show. Joining me to discuss the week in tech, top left, Alistair. How you doing, mate? Not seen you in ages.
Oh, well, I've not been invited for ages. That's probably why.
Oh, we didn't do a show last week, and I think you were on the week before, so, yeah. Well, it's not because we don't want you. What have you been up to then?
Well, do you know, I've spent most of the time this week not writing, but training.
Training in what?
Well, it's one of the many things I juggle with. I'm an Adobe certified instructor. I know it's very boring, but there you go. It's a way of earning a living when you're a freelance.
Yeah.
I spent most of the time in other people's offices training them.
Ooh. Nice.
Now, most trainers don't like going to other people's offices. They much prefer to do it from the training center. Whereas I quite like looking around other people's homes.
Good idea.
So, if it's an office, so I've been through various places in the city and some advertising agencies. And there was one agency, I tell you, it was fantastic. You can always judge an office by its toilet, right?
Okay.
So it's an office toilet. But as well as gleaming taps and everything, and a shower, of course, because it's posh, they had not just soap, but hand cream. Okay, so a bit of moisturizer. Right. This is the gents, right? And I think to dry your hands, there was no dryer or paper. You had that, you know, that special kind of fluffy paper. You think it's, you're not sure if it's paper or it's material. And you don't know if you should throw it away or save it and put it in the washing machine and use it later.
Depends what you've used it for, really, I suppose, but yes.
It's pretty puppy. Well, I'm just washing my hands with it, you know.
Oh, right. Okay, fair enough.
The only thing they didn't have was a man in a corner with aftershave, you know, but otherwise it was just really nice. So that's what I've been up to, looking in other people's toilets.
And you've been to the Houses of Parliament this week as well, haven't you?
Well, I have. That was for a debate, but it's unusual to go. Parliament, if you're a journalist.
Yeah, no. Was it boring?
No, it wasn't boring. It was very good. It was nice after the many, many years I bored everyone with the same story about why newspapers and magazines are losing readership, to actually have a bunch of MPs actually tell me that's why. Give the exact reason I've been telling everyone else when I get drunk.
They cotton on eventually, mate. They're slow. They're MPs. Give them a chance.
There you go.
Jeffrey, how are you?
I'm good, and it's really nice to see you, Ewan. It feels like it's been forever since you've been around.
It's only 2 weeks.
Well, you know, in some animals' terms, that could be an eternity.
Did Wrighty treat you right last week?
Oh, yes. He always treats me right.
He didn't take the piss out of you too much?
Oh, no.
Right, he's had a little trip to hospital this week. He's not particularly well, so get well, mate, because I know you'd be watching. So get yourself back on the horse as soon as you can and get back here to BTN and sort everyone out. Next to him, it's Muller.
Oh, hello. I was just looking for a link to the toilet paper.
Muller's mic technique has got so bad now, it's not about he hasn't got it close to his mouth. He hasn't even picked it up.
I've honed it now.
There we go, bloody hell.
I was just looking for a link to the toilet paper in my office. I'll just paste it in the bit of advice.
For your toilet paper.
Don't click Muller's links, Christ.
Well, it's just a Izel, if anyone remembers that from school.
Izel, God, yeah, we had a conversation. we talked about Izel on the pinch, didn't we?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think that's where the title came from.
I'm just saying that Alice's got posh paper and we got Izel.
In physics lessons.
My God, I've never heard of this before.
America does have it.
Frictionless surface known to humans.
With absolutely zero absorbency.
Yeah, I mean, it was so good as a toilet paper that you could have used it as lining paper for a cake tin so that it wouldn't stick. It got nothing off. All it did was smear it all over your arse. It was crap.
It was medicated, though.
You're putting me off my raisins.
Well, there you go.
With what? medicated. It smelled funny, if that's what you
mean. If you look at the picture, I actually used to have on it, medicated
Eisel.
Yeah, was it medicated?
Yeah.
What, you needed medicine after you used it or something?
Bromwich had that in a hotel. God, classy joint, girl. Didn't you think it was strange they were only charging you by the hour?
Oh, God. No, that was a room.
That's the kind of place that would have Eisel, not somewhere decent. No, I'm not talking about you. No. I meant as in it was that type of place that rented rooms by the hour, not that you were there to rent it. But no, moving on. That's not what I meant.
Totally change the subject.
No, that's not what. Anyway, Muller's fine. And Camps, what have you been up to? That beard's looking luscious.
This beard needs a trim now. I've been a bit lazy this week. Been a busy old week. I'm glad it's Friday.
Is that Yorkshire camouflage?
It's just to go faster. Grey stripes are coming through a little bit more.
Stripes? Jesus, mate. You've overshot there then.
Yeah, definitely needs a trim. Need to sort it out.
What have you been up to?
My week at work, absolutely crazy week at work. So I think this is probably one of the earliest I've got done and sat down. So yeah, please, it's Friday. Please, it's show night.
I want to give kudos to Barclays.
Barclays.
Yeah, no, because
okay.
Normally, so here's the thing: I need a TV for an expo next week to show stuff on. So I went onto eBuyer and I sorted two TVs out. 4K TVs, and I thought, oh, I'll have that one. So I went and ordered it, and then I got to the end of the process, having paid, and realised I'd ordered the wrong one. So I cancelled the order, and they said, yep, fine, order's cancelled, almost instant, because it was done straight away. And then I ordered the other one. And of course, Barclays was like, two transactions straight away at eBuyer for goodly sums of money. There's got to be a problem with this. Now, normally what they would do is they'd just block my card. I'd have to ring up. I'd have to go through security on the phone. Where's your telephone banking passcode? I haven't got one. And you go through the whole rigmarole, and then 20 minutes later, maybe, you get yourself back online. And I've had this happen when I've been stood trying to buy a ticket for the Heathrow Express to get back out to my hotel, and it's the last train at night. And, it, you know, I hate Barclays when they do that to me. And they've never caught a transaction that's been fraudulent, ever. But as soon as I've done it, literally, like a 30 seconds later, pling, I get a text message. We're going to send you a text on this phone, this number. It's definitely us, and you need to make sure that you respond to it. Are the following three transactions yours? Comes up. Yes, they're all mine. Then it goes back to the original one. He says, that's fine. Your card will be unlocked. Try again in a minute. Done.
It's good. And well done, Barclays.
2 minutes later, I'd ordered the the TV. So well done, because I've given them piles of shit on this podcast. And over the phone for years. So well done, Barclays. That's a brilliant system. It works awesomely. Don't change it, for Christ's sake.
I was going to say you bought the wrong one again.
No, I did buy the right one this time. Well, I haven't opened it yet. So knowing me, it probably won't work. I get raw chicken in restaurants, so it's I've got a nasty habit. The big week in tech, the stories that have gone on, the shiz that's happened. Who's got the first story? Muller's kind of cheated a little bit because he's already given me his. But
was I actually faster than everyone else?
Yep, you were. Jeff's in. Elon Musk launches Neuralink to connect brains with computers. I saw a Model X today. I've never seen one yet.
Okay, so imagine driving your Model X with just your brain.
Well, it was an ugly frigging car, I have to say. It's not. I wasn't impressed. Wasn't impressed at all. But that's aside. Jeff, tell us about your story. Anyway.
Okay, so here's the deal. Elon Musk, in addition to wanting to give us self-driving electric cars and colonize Mars, has decided that he wants to make a link for our brains to computers. So you can have essentially an AI that is tied straight into your brain. And so he has this new startup that is working on figuring out how to make the electrodes that would be embedded into our brains so that we can have data passing in and out of our brain and into computers. And I can't imagine anything going wrong with this.
Is this about as close as Star Trek was to doing this? Because, I mean, Or it's pure vaporware, surely.
At this point, it has to be just vaporware, because they're talking about doing something that we really haven't ever done before at all. I mean, this is completely different from the stuff where you have electrodes where you can, like, cursor on a screen or link it into a prosthetic and move robotic fingers. This is full-on complete interface between a human brain and a computer system where information is being exchanged between the two. And at what point do we have to start rebooting ourselves?
So supposing you've had an argument with the missus and you get in the car to storm off and you've got a malevolent thought about her and the car thinks, okay, fair enough, and it just lurches forward into the lounge and kills her.
I hadn't even thought that.
Well, Mr. Sachs in the chat room is well ahead of you, and he's talking about getting wood as well, what the car's going to do if you're having sexy time thoughts.
It's going to take the wheel for you.
It's going to magically run out of petrol down a country lane.
I hate it when that happens.
I hate this kind of story. I really do, because it's so far pie in the sky that it's just bollocks. And okay, he's going to put some, he'll put a bit of juice into this in terms of some money to get someone to have a go. But it's just it's purely for grabbing attention. Nothing more. Gotta be. Come on.
Well, with Elon Musk, I mean, it could be just an attention grab, or it could be that he really genuinely thinks that this is something he can do, and he wants to link people's brains to computers. It's hard to tell.
I read it as different. No, there was another article. I've just pasted it on the same subject, because it was my backup story in case you tried on my other one. What they want to do is actually help people with spinal injuries. So it's more about people using their brains to control robotic limbs and maybe replace back and certain limbs. People with spinal cord injuries and stuff like that. And that's what his actual intention is, not to turn us all into cyborgs, which is some of the articles I've read about.
Right, so Jeff's saying that you can control your car with your brain, but you're thinking this is only limbs, not...
Well, one of the articles I've read, I've pasted it, it's in Life Science. One of the articles was talking about what he wanted to do is, it's more for medical use, controlling servos and controlling... So if you're a soldier and you get injured in Afghanistan or whatever, lose a leg, you can have a limb replaced and you can use it more naturally. So you have an interface between the machinery and your brain rather than... what we have at the moment, which is a little bit different, where the limb is actually controlled by the muscle.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think his actual intention is, this is more attention grabbing, but what he wants to do is have more natural control over maybe replacement of limbs and more serious injuries, possibly.
Right, this was going to be my story tonight, and yeah, one of the articles I've read is that initially focus will be on medical research, so the aim of developing electrode technology to treat chronic medical conditions. But I do think that yeah, that's probably the initial focus. But once the technology's been developed, once it's worked, I think then where it goes from then probably is anyone's guess, and almost a. It's open, isn't it? There's so many different options where you could go with this once it's been developed, once it's working, and I suppose if it's safe.
I mean, another where this other article went, we've stroke patients where people have problems controlling over their mouth and certain actions where their brain still works, but it's kind of locked in.
Well, their brain doesn't work because otherwise it would control the muscle, because the muscle's fine.
No, the brain's still healthy inside, but they're just having difficulty controlling the neural pathways.
Yeah, but here's the thing, especially with a stroke victim, is the fact that the neural pathways are damaged, which is... And my father's had a stroke, and he hasn't suffered any limb movement loss, but there is an area of his brain which doesn't let him pick the right word. So he knows what he wants to say, but he comes out with a completely different word. And it's been hilarious at times, because instead of saying on the whole, he says on the whore.
My dad does exactly the same thing, Ewan. Exactly the same thing.
Yeah. And so, but the thing is, that link is gone. So, which area? How is he going to get his brain to trigger it when his brain can't trigger it now? That's my point. I can see certain things, like if you talk about utilizing a prosthetic. Yeah, that, I think that's very touchable technology as well at the moment, isn't it? But in terms of things like fixing stuff like that, that's miles and miles. I mean, at the moment, they're still trying to work out what areas of the brain do what things. And they're only guessing that we think it's does this.
Yeah, if you're getting to that point, now you're back to what's being implied with the Wall Street Journal article and several of the other articles about this, where it's a direct interface between computer and your brain. And when at that point, I'm assuming you'd be handing off certain controls over your own body to the computer system.
Yeah. The thing that's going to piss you off the most is when they decide they're going to change the connector to your brain, isn't it? Because, oh, come on, I've just got used to USB-6. And now you want me to go to USB-7. Come on, it's a completely different connector. Apple should not be allowed near this on that ground alone.
Well, they put a wireless charging in your seat.
Well, it charges through your arse.
That's just not sanitary.
I could separate it with a thin sheet of Isol, maybe.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, that's what Isol's for.
It's completely non-conductive. And
It's non-absorbent as well. It's utterly reflective technology. I really hope it is something that he puts money into and it actually works, because it would be fantastic for people who've got disabilities or are struggling with stuff to then be able to have a lease of life that they weren't having. But I fear for the fact that it is a bit of attention seeking. And
if you look at the life science story, the second sentence basically says he's just launched a medical research company. That's what the story is. So this is like 100 years in the future now.
Yeah, he'll be dead and gone by that point.
Stories, he's launched a company. It's a press release has gone around. Press release says the usual thing. Company launches product.
Yeah.
That's it. And they've had to write up a story from that.
The Elon Musk Foundation. Yeah, I've been getting a bit pissed off with Microsoft as well, because they and Musk, because he's done it with the Mars thing. They've kind of learnt the ability to make a video and go, this is what we're going to do. And everyone goes, oh, that's what they're going to do. No, they're not.
Yeah.
They've made a video about what they would love to do, but it's no closer to the truth than the current King Kong movie. You know, it's just a bit of fiction.
Well, this was my backup story, because Jeff stole my story this week. And so I did a bit of...
Yeah, sorry about stealing your stories.
So I did a little bit of reading on this one. Another thing they did talk about is that humans are better at taking in information, but not very good at processing it. So by merging us... I keep leaning over, don't I? By merging man and machine, maybe you can improve, because we're better at taking information in, but slow at computing.
Yeah.
So... But he wants to turn us into a cyborg, doesn't he, sir?
No, I don't think that's the case. Yeah.
I was reminded of The Terminal Man, you know, the book by Michael Crichton.
I saw that on TV not long ago.
Well, that's the thing, is that it's a very exciting book, but a really boring film. And I always wondered whether it was like the most boring film ever made of an exciting book. Unless you've got some alternatives you can think of.
Wicker Man.
I've never read the book of The Wicker Man.
Yeah, no, it's much better than it is the film. The film with what's his name in it, Edwards. What's its crap?
Edward Woodward.
That's him. Edward Woodward.
Edward Scissorhands.
No, Edward Woodward.
Brad Pitt.
Why does Muller keep saying that Elon Musk wants to turn us into a sideboard?
Sideboard.
Says Deep Fan.
The Cabinet Man.
It was the Queen song, wasn't it? Beelzebub has a devil for a sideboard.
For me.
Oh, that was a question on the code this week, and I got it right.
What? What was the question?
Well, it was the who was the Italian? Who is the Italian? What's it? Comic? Not comic. You know.
You're obviously better at remembering the answer than the question. Jesus. Yeah.
Well,
why don't we just play Jeopardy? Scaramouche.
This is why we need to have computers.
The answer was Scaramouche. So Scaramouche. Was he a clown? And that was the answer. And I remembered it from Queen. Scaramouche, let's do this.
I thought we were playing Jeopardy for a second.
I was saying, let's do it the other way around, because we've got more chance. wasn't Danny Kay? That was a good film, Scaramouche. Danny Kay.
Danny Kay.
Love Danny Kay movies.
It wasn't Danny Kay, it was... Not James Stewart, the other one. It'll come back to me.
I thought Danny Kay played it, because it was a clown, wasn't he? So... He was an incredible swordsman.
It was a swashbuckling film.
It was a swashbuckler, right?
Yeah, it wasn't Danny Kaye. Well, it wasn't Charlie Caroli either.
There was something we could look this up on.
I'm looking now.
Only we had an interface directly into our brains.
Stuart Granger.
That was it, Stuart Granger.
Granger, yeah, it was.
It looks a bit like Danny Kaye, you know, separated at birth and all that.
No, it was the clown remark that made me think it was, because I remember Danny Kaye doing a film where he was, and he was a bit of a clown, but Stuart Granger, me and my grandmother on a Saturday afternoon, you get a Western or something like that, 2 o'clock on BBC Two, and then she'd flick backwards and forwards between the horse races. She used to love watching the horse racing, but she never bet on anything. And she used to jump up and down in her seat if her horse that she'd picked at the start was the one she was going to favourite. And then we'd go back to watching the movie. It'd be a James Stewart or a John Wayne or a...
Danny Kaye.
Bastard. Thanks for that. Good days. I enjoyed those. Good story. Whether it'll happen or not, different thing entirely. Alistair, your story is MP's expenses.
It was the one that broke today about the Independent Parliamentary Standards Authority seemed to have cocked up somewhere along the line. Well, we don't know where yet, and managed to put a load of its workers' details on an old website.
Oh, my God.
Because, you know, everyone makes mistakes. Okay?
So it says here no addresses, no bank account numbers, no phone numbers, and no national insurance numbers were disclosed. So what has got out?
Well, we're not sure yet, because I didn't see it. You know, it was there for a few hours. As I understand it, they were trying to set up a new website, and somewhere along the line they've managed to post the wrong thing to the wrong website. So...
Nice.
Most of what I've heard about this or read about it, it's been very brief. But it sounds like they were probably trying to move from HTTP to HTTPS by doing something and some data's gone astray.
Oh.
What was that data going there for in the first place? I don't really understand. Nor is it clear whether this was a public-facing or an intranet-type thing. But the one thing I think you know for sure is that... no one will be found guilty and no one will be fined.
Well, it's probably someone who's pretty low level, I would have thought. But the interesting thing is that the information that has got out recommends a 10% pay rise for MPs.
Oh, yeah.
From £67,000 to £74,000 per year, despite years of pay freezes for public sector workers. That ain't good.
I think there's an argument, though, to increase their pay, but stop them from having second jobs and taking over editorships of newspapers and six jobs.
Yeah, no, I think...
So there is an argument to increase the pay, but ban them from doing anything else.
Mm.
Being a full-time MP, end of.
Yeah.
No, what struck me on this story was that in the past, the Information Commissioner, whatever he's called, has fined people. But they tend to only fine people if they're in the public sector. So if I allowed any of the data I keep on, you know, as a journalist, I have to be registered with the Data Protection Act because I keep contacts and information and recordings. And if I let any of that become freely available or public somehow, I'll be liable for to be investigated and possibly fined. And the fines are actually quite high. Well, they are for me anyway. But if a public employee does the same thing, it's the last anyone ever hears about it. Because all that will happen is that they would get fined and then the taxpayer would have to pay.
Yeah.
So this is possibly the last we'll hear of this story ever.
There might be some personal accountability as well. But I think it was quite interesting because we've had the release of 10.3 this week for Apple, and two-factor authentication has featured very heavily in it as opposed to the two-step authentication that was there before. And it just goes to show you that actually the biggest security risk to you is your own stupidity. And the human factor, it's nothing to do with other people externally hacking into systems because the majority of those are actually fairly well protected already. I mean, I don't feel the need to put two-factor authentication on my phone because there's nothing on there of any real value to me. You get me emails, okay, fine, but you'll just see what I bought on Amazon. But it won't give you access to my Amazon account. And you know, the issue is the fact that what's the worst thing you've ever done? Well, Muller's done it tonight, and I've done it in the past. I've typed my password for the chat room in the chat room when I was meant to sign in. You know, that's the kind of silly shit you do, isn't it?
Now, what I was wondering again was how this mistake was made and by whom. It is quite likely that IPSA have outsourced this to some web design company, as they do, and they've done the cock-up, in which case, yeah, they'll get fined. But if it's someone in their own office, that's the last we'll hear about it.
Do you think
whenever you've heard these stories of someone leaving a briefcase in the back of a taxi, you know, General so-and-so, do you think for a second he gets fined?
United States, he just gets a new laptop.
Yeah. Do you think there's someone's gone, I see what, I'm going to use some lorem ipsum on the web page just to see what it looks like. Nah, just open one of their docs and put it on.
Just upload this, see if we can read a docx, you know.
I saw this article earlier today, but I saw the article as a link from another article that said, and this is why the snoopers charge and the government collecting data isn't a good idea. And the whole purpose was about if they're doing this with their own information, what they're going to do with the public information. So that's how I came across this story, really.
Yeah, it's true that the management at the House of Commons, at Parliament generally, in terms of IT infrastructure, is quite poor in the sense that no one actually understands any of it. And I know I have a friend who runs a security company, and they're very cloak and dagger, and I think it was a House of Lords called him in some years ago to look at their email system. The first thing he looked at, he came back and said, well, you realise all your emails are going straight, are going via the states. Yeah. So the heart of British government, everything's going via the states because someone has appointed an American host. And they're going, oh yeah, is that bad? Well, you know, it is if you're at war with a state. I don't know. I haven't a clue.
Well, did you see the map? There was a map published this week, wasn't there, for routing service for email from the UK through US sites. And they showed you which US servers it automatically went to, depending on where you were sending it.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not difficult to get right. And I say for you and me, who cares? But, I mean, if you're the UK Parliament, I think there'd be like a book of good practice.
Do you see the name of the bloke from IPSA who's the spokesman?
Oh, don't frighten me.
It's Mr. Boo.
What was his name again?
Boo.
Oh, Jesus.
Martial Boo.
Oh, Jesus, blimey. Just give us some warning before you do that again.
Boo.
Oh, okay, I've done that joke.
Okay.
It says it was available online for a period of around 4 hours, but it was taken down within the hour, so it was when it was refreshed via... DNS routes, I presume, but...
He has a daughter called Betty.
That looks like they cut and pasted the story from The Belfast Telegraph have cut and pasted the Guardian story. I mean, it's not even close to plagiarism. It's cut and paste.
It's a screenshot.
God. The Belfast Telegraph, currently owned by the Guardian. Monsieur Boo.
Monsieur Boo.
Jesus.
Boo. Oh, dear me.
That was my story.
That was good. Right, Muller.
Feeling, yeah.
Let's do yours then. UK government renews calls for WhatsApp backdoor after London attack.
Yeah, I'm a bit annoyed about this story, to be honest. I think the government's been very insensitive over the death of a police constable got stabbed, and then several members of public prior to that on the Westminster Bridge, to then callously call for a change in policy, of which they failed several times, to ask yet again for encryption to be weakened for political purposes. And I'm actually highlighting this more for that I'm angry that they've used the terror attack in London to further their political issue, and they did it very quickly as well after the incident as well. So that's really what I'm going on about. I know we've covered this loads of times over the years, but it's yet again London, America, EU, all now saying, come on, hand over the data.
Yeah, I mean, this guy was triggered with a phone call, wasn't he?
I don't know if he did that. I think he talked about it on WhatsApp to someone, but it was seconds before the attack anyway, so it wouldn't have made any difference. And he was a lone wolf anyway, if that's the correct thing to say. Mm. But I just don't see what that's got to do with this story, this particular incident, other than, yet again, the government are trying to use this to further their agenda to weaken encryption and get a so-called backdoor into apps, which are clearly not going to be used by the terrorists anyway. Anyone can make an encryption.
Well, the thing is, though, that nearly all the terrorist attacks that have happened, they've used SMS. It's just a straightforward text. It's not encrypted.
Yeah, encryption is rarely used.
They don't use encrypted sources to communicate.
Well, why would you use the actual, say, I'm going to make an attack in London? You just use code words, wouldn't you? I'm going to attack the Fairy Dell.
Now, so you're assuming we're talking about smart people, and typically, no, that they'll just, in very plain language, discuss what they're going. There's no encryption. It's just SMS between phones. And it's crazy how few people actually use encryption for conversations that really ought to be encrypted.
And on the stories I read about this earlier in the week, it said that, and I can't remember the guy's name, and even if I did, I wouldn't want to say it, the guy in London, that he'd used WhatsApp minutes before striking. But nobody has reported any details whatsoever that I can find that says how they know he was using WhatsApp.
Because they got his phone.
Yeah, but have they got into the phone and been able to access the chat history in WhatsApp?
Well, if they've got all his phone, yeah, because
I don't know what type of phone he's got, but I mean, if, you know, his thumbprint would have done.
That's true. Yeah.
They got him. So
yeah, he got him. So yeah, I've not seen any reports in terms of how they've been able to access that yet, and was there any data? I'm not expecting any of the press to say what the data was, but they've uncovered information in WhatsApp in terms of what he was planning to do. There's nothing like that. Just that it was using WhatsApp minutes before doing it.
I just think it's cynical. It's totally cynical.
Yeah.
How they're going about it, using the deaths of people, when it wouldn't have made any difference anyway, as you said, it was minutes before the attack. So it wouldn't have made a blind bit of difference.
No.
It's just, I'm angry because it's just cynical.
But I think the SMS thing is hiding in plain sight, because they've got, there's keywords that they're looking for. They're tapping their messages, but they're not using obvious language that would cause a trigger to be, or not a flag to be raised. And in most instances, I bet you there is the best place to hide a book is on a library. There's so much text an SMS message stuff thrown around, that theirs just dropping into the stream and flying away to someone else. I don't think they, you know, it takes time to register that kind of stuff and look for something that's obvious in it. And
he must have got the radar, so they wouldn't have been looking at him
impossible.
Anyway.
It's impossible.
So if he's not on the radar, why would they be looking at him?
Early might be paranoid, you know.
Well, he
probably
was.
Typically what happens with something like an SMS communication, it's not going to be intercepted when it's happening. It's going to be a thing where you have a suspect, and so now you're gathering as much information as you can about that suspect. You get their SMS logs, and there in the SMS logs you find something that was useful. It's a reactionary tool, not a proactive tool, typically.
Well, that's what it's about. The thing is, they came out with it hours. Yeah, again, Attack Dogs came out. And I just think it was cynical and disgusting, to be perfectly honest.
Very American.
I struggle I'm not a conspiracy theorist by any stretch of the imagination, but, you know, whether the chicken or the egg happens first with some of the terror attacks, I don't know. Because it does strike me as surprisingly similar, that just when you... there is something that needs to be pushed through. Oh, there's an event right next to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just kind of like, oh, come on. And I don't think they cause it. I just think they let it happen. There's an amount of allowance that they will give.
I don't know if it's so much let it happen or looking at the opportunity that's presented to them. And if you look at the San Bernardino shootings in the United States from a year and a few months ago. That is something that law enforcement let happen. But once it happened, the FBI saw an amazing opportunity for themselves to try and push through a policy that they really wanted, which was to get backdoors into all of our encryption. And it ultimately ended up not working. But still, it was, I think, motivated by opportunity, and so they just ran with it, and it may very well be that's exactly what happened with the London incident too.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a problem with the fact that you know, under issue of judicial warrant, there needs to be a process whereby the police can approach a company and say, "Show us, please." And I don't agree with the Apple process of not even we can get into our own phones. Because there has to be an oversight process that allows for discovery of evidence when something serious has happened. But I think one of the things that's going on with this is the fact that the WhatsApp have been particularly bad in previous cases, haven't they? They've been very truculent about not helping for data requests from people. And I think that's where it's wrong. If the police are going and saying, right, you will give us this information, and they've got warrant for it, then they have to be able to give it over, and the company has to be able to provide that information. They can't go, oh well, not even we can touch it. But there shouldn't be a backdoor, because a backdoor just means that someone's going to come and try and turn the handle.
Well, have you seen the other list?
Well, a backdoor for one is a backdoor for everyone.
Yeah.
Well, have you seen the other link I've just put in, which is by The Intercept, and it reads, moreover, even if all Masood's chats were unencrypted, meaning they would have been easily intercepted by spy agencies, it's as unlikely they would have prevented a murderous spree. So basically what they're saying is they wouldn't have made a difference. So what the hell are they going after WhatsApp for?
What makes a difference is the intel at, you know, the MI5 guys that are in various places within the organisations of terrorists are known to frequent, looking for evidence, and the word of mouth and the snitch and the the joining of the dots afterwards is what prevents it. It's not, you know, if someone guy just decides, you know what, I had a bad curry last night, I'm going to drive across a bridge and kill people, that's it. It's going to happen. There's nothing you can do to stop it.
We both had a bad chili.
Yeah, no, I had a bad one tonight.
Didn't?
Yeah, didn't go well.
No.
No, I've just... So Muller had a chili, and I posted a picture of him going, because it took him a bit sharp, but that was the end of it. Whereas my chili reaction seems to be just, you know, spontaneous, if you know what I mean.
Eruptions.
Bam!
That roll of Isle handy, you'll be fine.
That roll of Isle, yeah, see, that's the problem. And if I'd have been charging at the time on a car seat...
You'd have slipped off.
I'd have slipped off, yeah. Under hard braking, I'd have submarined under the belt, mate.
Oh, God, now I've got a picture.
Yeah, get that one out of your head.
On this story, I wasn't sure if it is so much cynical as just people in the government had to demonstrate that they were doing something.
Do you think that's where 90% of these insensitive requests come from?
Well, I mean, we've all just sat here and agreed that there's nothing you can do if some fat bastard wants to get in a car and mow people down. You can't stop them, whether it's for whatever reason they want to do it, whether it was a bad curry or not. But because everyone wants to portray this in the light of terrorism, and I don't think it was, I think it was the person just fancied doing it and came up with an excuse to do it, then people expect a government response. And the government response, if it was honest, would say, what do you want us to do about it? It's a car. People mow people down with cars all the time.
I mean, has anyone looked into this guy's mental history? Because I know one of the things that I listened to Radiolab, and there was a great episode a few weeks ago about shootings in the US, and it was kind of the FBI has statistics for purse snatchings across every single state, but they don't have any statistic gathered centrally for police shootings.
Oh,
nothing.
It's because they shot all the purse snatchers.
And it was a really well done article because it wasn't anti-police, it wasn't anti-gun. It was, you know, this is how it happens. And they got a guy on who talked very sensibly about how he gets people to, he gets his officers to think twice. And they've completely just wiped out police shootings effectively in this guy's remit.
Oh, yeah, because of the way Daytona.
Yeah, in Daytona Beach, because he just they coach them completely differently. I mean, he came out with something that was rather interesting. He said the problem that we've got is that kids that come to us through the academy, one of the things that we notice is they haven't had a fight at school, because kids don't fight at school. They're told not to fight. And he said when they do get into a fight, they resolve it by pulling their gun as opposed to
fighting.
Conflict resolution techniques or fighting it out. And as a result, someone gets shot. And they encourage people to have scuffles and that kind of stuff. And I thought that was quite an interesting take on it. But the whole process of how this occurs, very often, this guy was saying, we get a lot of people who we subdue without lethal force, and then when we talk to them, we find out all they wanted to do was die. They wanted a policeman to kill them, because they couldn't...
That's surprisingly common.
Yeah, they couldn't muster up the guts to do it themselves, so they thought they'd create a situation whereby the police would have to shoot them and kill them. And because this guy's done this work in Daytona Beach, it means that there's large proportions of them are now surviving, and they're finding out that actually suicide, inverted commas, is a major part of it. And I wouldn't, you know, it wouldn't surprise me to find out that this guy had the same motive.
You know, what surprises me is that this is like a surprise to so many people and to so many law enforcement agencies in the United States. That was something that I was trained on back in the 90s. When I was going through the police academy, we were taught how to try and watch for little indicators that would let us know that someone was trying to go for suicide by cop. And we had to go through special training so that we'd be prepared if we were ever in a situation like that. I mean, and this is back in the late 1980s. And all of a sudden, it's like, this is a shocking new thing. And I'm at a loss. What happened between then and now where law enforcement forgot that there's a lot of people out there that want to die? And they just don't want to do it themselves, so they try and create scenarios where the police kill them.
It wouldn't surprise me to find out that's what this guy... But, I mean, a lot of them as well, from what this guy was saying, they haven't killed anyone. They just carry a gun and they wield it around, but they never actually fire it. So this guy's actually killed people, which is different.
Mm. That's the problem with soldiers, isn't it? They say that most soldiers fire above the heads of the enemy.
Yeah, that was. I don't know if that's true or whether that was just in the film with the goat, Men Who Stare at Goats, because that was one of the stats that they gave out at the start of that.
It is a stat that a lot of soldiers don't... It might be
pure bollocks and you've just associated it with real life.
Well, you're literally putting ordinary people in a uniform and asking them to kill people. Sorry, is this better?
Thank you, Barry White.
Oh, the other thing, I only raised this thing about, you know, the government just needed to appear to do something, because one of the most common questions I've had over the past week or so was, if you mention it, saying, oh, do you know Amber Rudd, she's called, is meeting in with Google and Facebook and everyone, and they go, oh, really? So who's she then? So you say, well, it's the Home Secretary, and they go, oh, that's who the Home Secretary is. So I think she's, you know, this meeting she called, was it today or yesterday? I can't remember now. Was about that. It was, it's all about, oh, you didn't know this, but Theresa May isn't Home Secretary anymore. I am.
The evil one.
Yeah, no. I was I'm not going to say that because that would be
libelous.
Catastrophic. No, it's not libelous because it's true. But it would probably be career limiting. Certainly, I rely on work from the public sector, so I might edit this bit. Camps, for God's sake, save me.
That's that. I'm surprised.
Oh, he's brown nosing Alistair.
There's so many links to this story out there. That's just the one that I grabbed.
The US Senate has voted to kill the privacy rules for ISPs.
Yeah. So this week the US Senate
suit.
Sorry, Jeff.
The House followed suit, so the bill is on its way to the White House now.
Absolutely.
And Donald will refuse to sign it.
I can't see Donald refusing to sign this one and veto his own party. But ultimately, yeah. So what's happened this week is the Senate has approved for overturned a rule that the FCC brought back in 2016 to protect people's privacy in terms of browser history and the ISPs. And essentially what they've done is they've allowed the ISPs, or they're in the process of wanting to allow ISPs to sell individuals' browsing data for clearly advertising purposes and other stuff. It depends on what you've been browsing and all the information you can collect out of there.
Is there any clarity on whether it's anonymized data or not?
It can include your social security number and
email address.
That's not very anonymous.
I'm just thinking, Jeff's in trouble.
Oh man.
You have no idea.
Yeah, so in a number of articles,
I'm expecting the ads that I see in the very near future are going to be so disturbing.
Did you see the Stephen Colbert take on this?
No.
Oh, man, it was brilliant. Because he stood up and he just said the obvious, which is like, so these people are representatives of the people. Which of the people stood up and said, I want you to have my data? I want you to be able to sell my data. Yeah, that's something that this country really needs. And it's a good point. You know, this is pure lobbying from commercial organisations asking for this. And the will of the people, be damned. They're not interested in the slightest, because there is a guarantee there isn't a single private citizen who said this was important to them. And he played a clip of some woman who had lied about something else and been found out, and she stood up in I don't know if it was the Congress or the Senate or whatever, but she stood up and said, this will actually improve people's privacy.
Yeah, I've been trying to figure out where the logic train in that derailed.
Oh, she's a pathological liar, according to
There is no logic in that whatsoever. I'm just going to post a second article. In what I like is that there's now several campaign groups out there seeking to raise funds through through GoFundMe and the like to buy the browsing history of the Senate, of the senators who voted this in, so then they can post that publicly. I just love the idea that they're looking to do that.
You know that there's going to be at least porn in there, if not worse.
If not worse.
Oh, of course.
How interesting that will be if that comes out. And money is going into these GoFundMe accounts, but there's one on here that's already over £120,000.
Yeah, why don't you just wait till WikiLeaks gives it out?
Fair point. Do it for free.
Or Google.
This way we'll get it faster.
Or the parliamentary standards. Share it with them. Then everyone will get it.
Misha Collins has raised 62,000 towards a $500 million target. Half billion target. Christ.
It's
a long way to go.
You can't be selling that sort of amount of money.
No. But it does say in this article that you posted, Camps, the US Telecommunications Act prohibits the sharing of individual identifiable customer information except under specific circumstances. So they can't. They can look at browser data and aggregates and informational exchange and trends and that kind of stuff, but their own primary legislation says they can't actually sell the individual themselves.
You're looking at the register article there,
so that ISPs can sell personally identifying information. So my assumption, because I haven't read through the text of the bill, they're just defining what they're going to consider personally identifying, which you can totally do that in the United States. You can change what something is in a law, and they also included in this bill wording that prevents the FCC from taking any sort of action that would protect our privacy and our data. So they're actually hamstringing the FCC and blocking them from doing part of what their mandate is.
But does this bill amend or revoke the aforementioned piece of legislation? Because I can't find it on the page anymore.
It does revoke it, because I was looking at that. That's what I think. It's basically because Obama brought in some rules and they're basically chucking them out. No.
So this is the Telecommunications Act is probably going back to the 80s or something like that. So it's with revision. So this is long-standing legislation. It's not an Obama reversal type thing, I don't think.
One of the articles says that. Apparently it uses the Congressional Review Act, if Jeff knows what that is.
So if it's what I'm thinking it is, the FCC can enact regulations. And those regulations are then legally binding on companies.
Yeah, but regulations now have to be under the power of the Enabling Act, though, even for you guys, the same
thing. Right, right. But hold on, there's more. If they decide that they're going to, or they meaning if Congress decides that they're going to revoke something that the FCC has put in place, they can actually, through law, do that. So you can use legislation to override the FCC. So if the FCC puts something in place that says, hey, you can't release personal identifying information about your customers, Congress can write a law that says, actually, yeah, you can totally do that.
Yeah, but they would have to reverse the initial act, the Enabling Act that let the regulations take place.
Sure. Yes.
Yeah. So this act
unless it's part of an FCC regulation, meaning it's something the FCC created directly, in which case it just says, what you did, it's done. It's over.
So the US Telecommunications Act would be an act of your Congress that would require another primary act to be passed in order to overdo it. It's not low-level regulation like you're just talking about.
Right. Right. Yes, that is correct.
Yeah, so they'd have to go to the primary legislation to turn it over. And I'm interested in whether this bill that you're talking about that's come through from the Senate has got the requirement to overrule the circumstances that are identified in the US Telecommunications Act? That would be the question. Because that would be the identifiable bit. So I think there's a bit of storm in a teacup, and there might be nothing lost in the reporting here, but this could end up being, we're selling trend data, we're not selling identifiable data. That was never our aim. That's always going to be the climb down for them as well, isn't it? If anyone says, oh, but what about? They go, oh, no.
Yeah, regardless, it's just another part of the crazy shit show that that's going on over here right now.
You're not doing well at the moment, I have to say. I mean,
Howdy.
I mean, the other stories that have gone on this week have been the banning of large computer devices, cameras, laptops and tablets on Middle Eastern flights into the US. And everyone's suggesting that's a security issue because the Brits followed up, which I'm eternally ashamed at. I do apologise. But one of the suggestions is that that's actually to do with the leverage of US airlines to fly those routes. It's got nothing to do with security. It's just to make the airlines unpopular so that they can go to the American airlines, which don't have the restriction. And the other one is the Samsung Galaxy 8 has been released this week, which in a blaze of glory, excuse the pun. So which of those two do you want to talk about? Let's do the blaze of glory.
Yeah.
Samsung Galaxy 8. Has anyone seen it yet?
Not seen it. Seen articles. Not seen it in person.
I haven't seen it for in the flesh, but from the pictures I've seen, it's a good-looking phone.
It's a lovely-looking phone.
It is absolutely gorgeous. I'm trying to find a picture.
When I saw the photos of the phone initially, I was like, this is horrible, because there was nothing in the photos to give me perspective for actual size. Then when I saw it compared to an iPhone 7 Plus, that's when I was like, oh, okay, that's actually a nice looking phone. But I had to see it next to an iPhone 7 Plus before I was able to appreciate that, yeah, it's a nice looking phone.
One of the things that's, for those of you watching video, I am getting you a picture, hang on. One of the things that's interesting is the fact the up-to-edge display.
Yeah.
That is rather pretty, isn't it? But it's right up to the edge. It's got a curved top and bottom. There's no home button as well as, which is, you just imagine Apple sitting back at the campus going, oh, the suckers fell for it. We told everyone we're going to have no home button, and we are, and oh, they went and did it. But the other thought is, oh, hang on, they went and did it.
Is this the next hot product?
No, shut up. It'll set the world alight. Oh. The one thing that you know is that they've left enough room for the battery.
Sorry, you say that it's an amazing looking phone.
I think it looks nice.
It's a rectangle shape with rounded corners. It's a phone.
It's a bit longer.
How does it look better or different from any other phone?
Well, Alistair, it's got up to the edge display, which I think kind of special, even if you don't.
And it's a nicer display than the Apple iPhone.
It looks a nice display. It's rounded and smooth and glitzy. All right, I'm struggling. It's just a shit phone. Yeah, fair enough. It's right up there. It's right up there with the Doro big button.
So, if the image goes round corners, what if something, you know, do you have to kind of tilt your head around to see the text on either side or something? Or?
I guess the image does go round the corner actually from the pictures I'm seeing.
It does look like it to
really
me.
Does.
That's a good thing, is it?
Just a little distortion at the edge of the glass where it's curved.
I think you've just got to look at where Samsung's gone from to. They've gone from a phone that nearly set a plane on light several times and has burned people and has bopped off in people's pockets, and they've had to have a complete recall of, and they've launched a device which looks good and people are going, wow, that's a good looking phone. And yeah, there's jibes about, will it set the world alight? But actually, people are going to buy this in their droves because it is a good-looking phone.
Well, if you've got 700 quid burning a hole in your pocket, you must have a phone.
Well, it's a Samsung phone. You may have a hole hanging in your pocket regardless.
Oh, dear. I can get that one out.
Comes with a free bucket of water.
And it's got a headphone jack.
Has it?
It's waterproof, it's dust resistant, to IP68, and it's got a 3.5mm headphone jack.
Is it flame resistant?
Do you think that Apple that they've looked at what Apple did with the removal of the, because everyone was like, oh no, that means the headphones jack's disappearing off absolutely all electronics now. But do you think they've actually looked at this and gone, do you know what? The negativity around that was really bad. We're going to stick with the 3.5mm jack.
My guess is that they found that the phones they were selling without head jack weren't selling well.
Because
Samsung is making phones with USB-C headphone connectors.
Right. Did the 7 have no headphone jack?
I can't remember.
I think it did. It was waterproof. Remember. It was IPX67, but I think it did have a 3.5mm.
Mm.
There's none around to check now, is there?
No.
They are slated,
I don't think they've even considered it.
Did you know that Samsung's going to sell them as refurbished phones?
Mm. Yeah.
Well, they've got smaller batteries in them, aren't they?
Yeah, but how are you going to, as someone working at an airline, know if it's a refurbished Galaxy Note 7 or one of the original models that didn't get turned in?
None of the originals work anymore.
There's some people that have worked around that.
Oh, is
so,
there?
Yes.
Because I know that Samsung sent the kill code, didn't they, to switch them all off?
Yes, and it didn't work. And so Verizon, they had to do their own kill code, and that didn't work, meaning that there are still phones out there that are functional.
Well, that means they're just going to put...
showed up with the Note 7 phone, refurbished or not, I would be really uncomfortable letting them take that on the plane.
Well, if they're coming from the Middle East, they won't be able to, so.
You can take snakes in a plane. I don't see why they can't take a phone.
No, they can take the phone on. They just can't take the tablet with it.
Oh, now then, while I think about it, did you guys watch Sharknado?
Of course.
You're joking.
I did, yeah. All five of them.
You're having a laugh.
Yeah.
I've seen four.
That's five.
Five out.
Actually, six.
No, they're making the fifth, aren't they? Did you see the shark in the street in Australia?
Yes.
And you're kind of like, okay, Sharknado's a pile of bullshit. And then lo and behold, a bull shark.
There's a shark in the street.
Turns up in the street. And you're like, oh, okay, maybe it's not.
Are you sure it was real, though, not just a model?
No, it was real.
No, it was a shark that was sucked up in a tornado and dumped in a street.
Yeah.
You know what? Australia's one badass country.
Life imitating art, imitating life.
Oh, dear.
Good story. Who's going to buy one, then? Who's going to buy a Samsung Galaxy 8?
Nope.
No. Don't need one. I've got a good phone.
What have you got on the phone? Did you keep the Pixel thingy? Didn't you do that HTC one? Or?
Oh, me? Oh, no, it's the Huawei.
The Huawei, yeah.
It's a phone where I don't have to do this in order to read it.
Philistine. are you still loving it, Alistair?
It's still here. It's superb. It's a really good phone. I tell you, the audio recording on it is fantastic. I didn't realise it's got four microphones in it, so I can stick it in the middle of a table. And I've got and it's directional microphones. It picks up different people, and I get it back in stereo. It's fantastic.
Quadraphonic recording.
I'm going to say, if it's got four microphones, is it quadraphonic?
Yeah.
Well, no, I've only got two ears, so...
Pardon?
Oh, moving on. Bronwyn is lusting for a Galaxy S8.
What?
I won't buy one, Ewan. Too expensive right now, but I'd be happy to accept one as a gift. So that's one. is the kill code flame on, says Deep Pan. apparently they're sticking with the headphone jack and they're giving away AKG earbuds with it. Very good.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting, it'd be interesting, the Deep Pan suggesting that even the new ones might not be allowed on planes until there's a kind of period of certainty. with them, which would be interesting.
Well, it's not even a bit allowing them on planes. They have to go in the hold. If I had a phone that I thought was going to blow up any second, I certainly wouldn't want to put it in the hold.
Yeah, no, you can have phones in the Middle Eastern flights. It's only tablets, laptops, and cameras that you can't carry in hold on carry-on luggage. But you can have your phone. You're going to have it seized anyway, and you're going to have to give over your password and do all that shit anyway. I can't be bothered with going to the US at the moment.
So the workaround to having your laptop stolen on one of those flights is don't book a direct flight to the United States. Do a layover in another country and then fly from that country back in.
But then you're going to... Yeah, but the problem you've got is as well the... and this is what they were saying, is that the airlines in that region, the Emirates, etc., are all subsidised. So the competition is unfair with American Airlines, which is why they've decided to do this, allegedly. So I don't know whether that's true or not, but it does sound American it's and logical. Sorry to be cynical. This podcast and all this is brought to you by UK2. They're awesome. They're looking after us for a long, long time to come. So please, please, please support them. Look after them. Our server's been extended for 9 years. You've got 9 more years of this shit to listen to. Bad luck. If you'd like anything from them, britishchatnetwork.com/sponsors, all the offer codes are there. And if you're already a customer, don't forget you can still use all the offer codes, and you can also go to /sponsors and /UK2, sorry, if you want to sign into your account, because then we get kudos for the fact that you're a returning customer from us. So please, please, please do that. And just send a tweet out saying thanks for supporting British Tech if you possibly can. And also, this weekend, I will see Uniku for the first time. I'm going to go to the optics exhibition at the NEC and see Mark and the chaps at Hoya. And they have the Uniku machine wired up and ready to go on the stand. And it's going to look awesome. It's going to be incredible. I cannot wait to go and see this on Monday. It's just superb. So please support Hoya. Go into your local opticians and say, do you do Hoya lenses? And if they go no, go, oh, that's a shame, and walk out. And that will get them interested. You can still get the Avantech lenses, the lovely ones that I'm still wearing at the moment. If you'd like those as well, they'll still do it. And as Camps will attest, those are Hoya lenses in his existing frames. He just sent the frames in, they measured it up, they made the frames, they stick them in. There you go.
Yeah, way better than the standard optician glass.
Way better. Lovely. Right then, time for the cool thing. Start us off, Mr. Tabs.
Oh, yeah. You probably won't find this remotely cool, but I picked this up a couple of weeks back at the wearable technology show, and I've only just this week managed to plug it in. I know it looks pretty rubbish. It's just a strap and a little monitor. It goes around my midriff and it tells me that I'm still alive.
Cool. Heartbeat monitor then.
It is. I mean, it's a rather large and elaborate way of measuring your heartbeat, given that, you know, you can just wear something like this and it'll tell you, amongst lots of other things. But it also kind of test things such as respiration, because it's in the right place. It's sort of sitting near solar plexus or just above.
And I
found that I was actually using up an awful lot more calories than I really thought during my workouts. Let me just paste something in. There's a nice website with lots of lovely pictures of girls' midriffs that you can have a look at.
So Alistair, on that one, were you then finding that the one round the midriff monitor was significantly more accurate than the wristband that you're wearing?
Well, the only way to be surely accurate would be to take my own pulse while I was doing the workout, which wasn't possible. What I will say is I've got different results. Because at the end of the day, something like this is trying to measure your heart rate according to God knows what.
Well, I got admitted to hospital.
Or something, I don't know what it is.
I got admitted to hospital last year with pneumonia, and I did a little test because I was bored, of what my heart rate was on my Apple Watch compared to what it was on the proper BPM monitor in the ward. And the Apple Watch wasn't even close. It was crap. It was way out.
Yeah. Well, it was, because it was, you know, it's trying to, this thing's trying to work out how many calories and stuff you're doing, and based on a variety of other things. But the fact that it was in the right place and it's a proper monitor, and it doesn't fall off every 2 seconds.
150.
Good, actually. I can go for a run in it. I can go trampolining in it if I wanted to. It can fall off.
$150 for this?
It certainly doesn't cost that much. Really? No.
According to the website, it's $150 for a MyZone physical activity belt.
No, pretty sure that's wrong. Let me have a look.
It's their website, so I'm only going on that. And $229 if you want that and the watch. But
what? Oh no, I wouldn't touch the watch. what made it interesting was, while I was taken by it, is that you can use it with an app, which I suppose is what everyone expects it to do. But there's a whole load of gyms which actually have it set up wirelessly, so you just walk into the gym and it clicks on and recognises that you've walked in the gym, you've started your workout, you finished your workout, and then as you walk out of the gym, you can pick up a printed set of results and charts of what you just did.
Yeah.
If you're into that kind of thing, it's interesting.
£129 on the British website.
Yeah, I think that would be about right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Bit much.
Have you paid less than that then? Or not paid at all?
I paid less than that. Cool. That's why I thought it was cheaper.
Okay. Good pick. Jeffrey, what have you got for us?
All right. So my pick is a thing called Matrix Creator. And this is an add-on board for the Raspberry Pi that takes your Pi and gives it a whole voice interface system. And so you can set it up for a lot of different types of voice control. But one of the things it does is link into your Echo account. So it can become an Alexa interface for you. And it works exactly like an Amazon Echo once you have it all set up. So I'm all into this do-it-yourself stuff because it's just fun. I wouldn't have this as my primary choice for an Echo, because you can pick up an Echo Dot for $49, but this add-on board is $100.
Yeah.
So it's expensive if all you're doing is looking to have an Echo.
You're polishing a turd there.
There's so much more you can do with this, and it just looks like a really cool way to experiment with voice recognition on a Raspberry Pi, where and Raspberry Pi is like the most awesome test platform for because you completely trash something and you pop another micro SD card in and start over with a fresh install and you just keep going. And anyhow, this is a pretty cool little thing, and they do have a video showing a woman talking to or interacting with Alexa, and she keeps getting farther and farther away, and the microphones are still picking up her voice without any problem, and it's responding correctly, and it's just pretty cool.
Cool, but you're just getting the bare board here. You've got to do all the soldering and etc. yourself, haven't you?
No, I think you can get it as a board that's ready to plug into a Raspberry Pi, but you can also get it where you can build your own stuff on it. And for that, you're going to have to break out the soldering iron.
Okay. Why do you guys miss the L out of soldering?
we're still rationing from the war.
Okay, got it. Cheers, man. Thanks for clearing that up.
And an add-on board that costs 3 times the price of the original Pi.
No, pies. You can get pies for £4 now.
That's what I said about. Well, okay, about 10 times the price then.
20 more. Yeah,
at least.
25 times even. 50. I can do maths. Muller, what's your cool thing before you destroy our brains?
Okay, you got my picture, haven't you? You're going to put it up. I bought myself an e-bike, a KTM e-bike. I sold my motorbike, as everyone knows, and took the Mickey.
No, we did not.
Well, some people did. I was very upset.
I said it was a travesty.
Well, yeah. Anyway, it was starting to get a bit expensive. I wasn't using it, so I bought myself an e-bike to try and get a bit more cycling, get a bit more. And I bought a KTM model, so I got a bit of a link to motorcycling. Have you put my picture up?
Hang on.
Oh, Jesus God.
Christ. Here we go.
It's not one of those twist and go ones. You have to put some effort in. So you got four different settings from eco.
You haven't said the word electrical since you thought it's electric bike.
It's electrical
you
bike.
You didn't say that.
Didn't I?
No.
Okay, it's got a battery on it then.
The battery is the silver thing in the middle there. And it powers the hub, doesn't it, where you cycle?
Yeah, there's a hub. It's a central mounted hub. The battery powers the computer and assists you riding. And it's by a motorcycle company called KTM, and I quite like it actually. I've had a few punches, but apparently they supplied crap tyres. I'm getting some new tyres to put on it the weekend, and I'm getting on with it quite well. It's one of my colleagues saw me riding down the canal the other day and said, "Let me know, you were going quick for a fat boy," and I was going, I had a bit of help. But you can get up to 15 miles an hour, pretty smartish, and then the power cuts.
It doesn't help you, does it? No.
It gets you up to 15 miles an hour, but that didn't help. I mean, especially uphill. I mean, I was doing 17 miles an hour to Ewan's one day up a hill. Because it got me that initial oomph. And once you're going, you're all right, aren't you? Just got to keep going. Sometimes what tires you out is the oomph to get you up there in the first place. But I'll be looking at a replacement battery though, because not I need a replacement, but I thought I'd have a backup battery to go with it. £700.
Wow. Look after the one you got there.
Yeah.
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 I saw one of those in Boulder a few days ago. There was a guy riding one of those around.
Cool.
And I wasn't exactly sure what it was that he had, but now I know. It looked pretty cool.
They are cool, yeah. It's you do notice it. The initial oomph, and then it backs off, and depending on what setting you have it, I tend to ride around in the middle setting. Well, there's four settings. I tend to ride sometimes eco, but I usually use tour, which gives you enough movement to go forward. If I'm going up a hill, I might step it up a bit.
It doesn't recharge the battery though, is it? There's no bleed back.
Well, that would stop you from cycling, wouldn't it? Because that would be working against you then.
No, so when it cuts out, it doesn't recharge from your efforts.
Yeah, but if that's what I'm saying is, if you were doing that, surely that would then require you more oomph to put the bike forward, because then you'd have to work against the bike again.
Yeah, but no, recovery systems are fairly, they're not neutral, but they're
it's okay if you're going downhill, but you don't want one where you're going.
My guess is it's probably a heat thing.
It probably charges, yeah.
Weight.
Yeah, probably weight more than anything, because it's quite a heavy bike. It's £40, so it's got a bit, you know, when you have to carry it up a flight of steps, you do notice the extra weight.
Yeah, it's a heavy bike. I've had a go on it, but I got it to 15 miles an hour too bloody quickly. Didn't help me in the slightest.
Yeah, that's but you haven't really tried up a hill.
No.
What you really knew is try it on a hill. That's when you get the best benefit from it. On the normal road, if you just cycling steady, it just gives you a little bit of help, so you know.
Yeah.
But I'm getting off from the lights. I was going to, I had a test ride on it, and I started on a hill in the city centre, and I think these people, the car drivers, must have been wondering what was that fat bloke riding that bike so fast up off the lights, because it did really. I managed to get straight up, and I was up to about 17 mile an hour within seconds, which probably would have taken me a good 30 seconds before.
Show us that picture again.
The picture.
Are those shock absorbers on the front?
No, they're, well, yes. You can get it with rear ones as well, but that's called a hardtail.
It's between the wheel and the mudguard.
Well, the mudguards I put on, it doesn't come with mudguards. I put them on because I was getting soaked. So I bought.
You bought this brilliant bike, but you've had to change the wheels, the mudguard, the battery.
I haven't changed the battery.
No,
but it's too expensive.
You bought a few tubes and a seat.
Yeah. No, the motor works.
And a motor.
And the battery works. I just wanted a second battery. So the range, obviously depending on what setting you have, is anything from about 30 miles, well, if you ride it heavily on the high settings, can be quite low, but if you use it on the lower settings, it's about 30 to 40 miles. Obviously, if you're using Eco, it's about 70 miles, but that can be a bit limiting, because 70 miles is only a couple of hours cycling, maybe 3 hours cycling, even for me.
So why would you fit a basket on the back? You could put a car battery in it.
Yeah. I probably need a nuclear power station on the back.
The deep pan in the chat room has nastily put a picture of a bloke, fat bloke riding a Kieran, and suggested it was you winning a race against
a midget.
Some fit young lass. There we go.
I'd follow her behind, though.
The old man. Camp, save us.
Bear with me, because I've chosen this one before and I'm going to explain why I'm choosing it again. So this is the Bring app, the Bring shopping app. So I've got this on my phone, my wife's got this on hers, as we're cooking things like that in the house, and we need some milk or whatever, you bob it in the app, and bit like a shopping list. So when you go to the supermarket, quick, nice, easy reference UI, and you can find out what you want. And equally, if my wife had something in into, let's call it the shopping list, it syncs to my phone and I can see it. So that's all good. This week, Bring have added a skill to Just Jeff. So now my wife is finally using the dot that we've got in the kitchen, because now she can just say, Just Jeff, use Bring, add milk. For instance, and shout what we need adding to our shopping list, and it syncs straight into the Bring app. So
that's useful, because that's one of the real problems of your shopping list, is it doesn't, there's no output.
Yeah,
you can't print it, you can't do anything. You've got to get open the Alexa app.
No, so all you do is you call it out to Just Jeff and say add milk to Bring, and then when you're in the supermarket, you open the Bring app on your phone or on your Apple Watch, if you've got a watch, and there's your shopping list.
Mr. Sachs says Wunderlist does the same kind of thing, which is cool. But brilliant.
I think for me, what I was struggling to do is getting my wife to use things like Wunderlist, Evernote and things like that. And we just found Bring, just it's a really, really simple, easy to use UI on there. We found the Bring app. Really worked for us, so pleased that the skill is now there on the dot.
Excellent.
On this app, how do you put in stuff that little unusual?
I mean, it's just freeform. Yeah, it's got a load of presets, so like you can see on the link there's bread, milk, carrots, bananas, etc. If there's something on there that you haven't got up at the top where the little search bar is and it says what would you like to buy, just type in there whatever you want and it creates you a little icon. Bespoke.
So if I thought, I'd like some bellotti beans, but if not, get kidney beans. How do I do one thing or another?
You just type bellotti / kidney beans.
Okay. There's no way of saying a preference, or
not that I've used it. I'll try that, Alistair, and I'll drop you a message in Slack. I'll let you know if it works.
Just every time I go shopping, they always have something that they don't have, and I have to have a plan B of what I'll do instead.
I found the Alexa skill works really well. We've been playing this week. Been finding that my daughter's adding all sorts of things on the shopping list because she's heard us, and now she's adding all sorts of stuff to the shopping list. But we'll get through that.
Alexa, add a pony.
Oh, yours has just flashed.
That's you getting a pony delivered tomorrow.
Wait, it's all right. It won't come to my house.
That'd be 50 quid.
Tossers.
Is that a British pony? Yeah.
I was going to say it'd be £50, wouldn't it? The pony.
There you go.
It's 20. A pony's 20.
Pony's 50.
Pony's 20.
It's 50.
A pony's 20.
I don't think so.
What's 50?
A pony.
No, it's not. A pony's 20.
What's the monkey then?
Oh, that's a 50. Yeah.
Thanks, man. My cool thing, well done, Camps. I'm right. My cool thing is the Visibee plug, dual plug. Bought these for Ellis. Ellis and Bryony are constantly arguing over where's the charger for my phone, where's the charger for my iPad. So I bought one of these each for them. There you go. Have these kids, right? Now sod off and stop arguing. £8.95 on Amazon. That's it. And it does two devices at once, both 2 amps. How cool's that? That's it.
That's neat.
Dead simple and easy, and it stops the kids fighting.
For 18 quid, you could have a 6 one.
Eh?
For 18 quid, you could have had the one I got, which had 6.
Yeah, but if I buy one for 18 quid and try and get two kids to share it nicely, that's a stupid statement, mate. I tell you ain't got any kids. Christ. Mate. Visibly, dual 2-amp, 2,000 milliamp, double rapid speed charger. Link's in the chat room. And you think, oh, that'd be great, Ewan. Where can I get that? Go to britishnetwork.com/chat. Navigate to the 31st of March and you will see all the links that are in there. Even there's links there from all of that are even clickable.
Is it Prime?
Wow. Yeah, that's on Prime, yeah, as well.
So basically you broke your own rule.
Why?
You said nothing. You should not pick Prime.
That doesn't count for picks for shows. It only counts in the Slack room. You were wrong about Monkey. I'm going to get emails telling me I'm wrong, maybe. I'm sure, I don't know, but we'll have to wait and see. Right, where can we get a hold of you, Monsieur Dabs?
Okay, I shall be at the Register, as ever, theregister.co.uk. My weekly column comes out on a Friday morning, so it's already there, so I'll put a link in. You can have a laugh while I predict the end of humankind, not due to robots taking over, but IoT taking over.
Yeah. That'll be fine. We'll all be okay. It'll be good.
Yeah, we'll make good pets.
We'll make it work.
Yeah, tell yourself that. Yeah.
Jeffrey, where are you, sir?
I'm over at manserver.com, and I'm on Twitter and Instagram. I'm JGam at both places. And I know I keep threatening to put some new posts up on Fresh Brewed Tales. I have two that I just need to finish the images, and then sure enough, there will be soon new content on freshbrewtales.com also.
Excellent. Camps, where are you?
I'm Camping UK on Twitter. You can always find me in the Slack room, and I'll be putting a few more reviews up in the next week or so on britishtechnetwork.com/reviews.
Excellent. And last but by no means least, Miller.
Muller Biker on Twitter, in the Slack room, and occasionally I do reviews as well. I'll do one on the bike when I get round to it.
Excellent. Bronwyn in the chat room says that Mad Cats are going out of business.
Mm-hmm.
So they're all their controllers are in an article at The Verge. Lovely, some real wacky stuff there. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. We'll be back again next Thursday for the live shows. Don't be turning up on Friday because we're not going to be here. We'll do all the usual stuff. It should be a good night. Have a great weekend. Enjoy, and we'll see you soon. Thanks for listening.